Let me jump into some material, all right? Let's talk about some early votes and what this means. So right now, if you're watching, you're hearing a lot about early voting. I mean, we're watching this stuff, y'all. I'm telling you, early voting, it means something. And I was asked this morning on another radio show, a Catholic radio channel down in Mobile had me on, Archangel Radio. And they asked me, do you think Alabama should move to early voting? You know, and I said, I hate to do this, but I have to reserve that decision or that until after this election, because Republicans have traditionally not taken part in early voting. This has been the year when Republicans said, you know what, let's just do it. And so they have, in apparently droves. Me personally, I am, and I told them this morning, I am still of the mind that, oh man, how good would it be to go back to having a paper ballot with a stubby pencil and you cast your vote on one day and it's also made into a national holiday so everybody can get off work and go vote. I think that'd be huge. I think that'd be awesome. I think it would still work. Oh, by the way, add photo ID to it, please. But that being said, do I think Alabama should have early voting? I'm not there yet. I'm not, because it's problematic. I mean, we're seeing things, you know, moving in a good direction right now. Pennsylvania, they upped their game a little bit. Georgia really seemed to get themselves in line and tighten up some of their procedures for early voting. But I still, maybe it's the old school in me, all right? Maybe I still got a little bit of the old school, and I'm thinking, just whatever happened to voting day? That being said, story here on CNN, Dateline yesterday. More than 78 million ballots have already been cast early. 78 million nationwide. Y'all, that's a ton. Now, some of that's absentee balloting, which we do have here. We have absentee ballots in Alabama. But a lot of that's early voting. More than 78 million ballots have already been cast in 47 states and the District of Columbia, according to data gathered by CNN, Edison Research, and a group called Catalyst, which I find interesting because they even point out that Catalyst is a company that provides data to Democrats. So CNN is flat saying, so we went straight to the Democrat source. Nonetheless, it's hard to argue with much of what's in here. So what does it mean? Here's CNN says there's three big takeaways, and I don't argue with these. The fourth takeaway to me is not yet there. The fourth takeaway from the early voting is going to be, how much do we trust it after the fact? If you come down to the end of this week, and we have seen what we consider to be a fairly reasonably orderly election with integrity and accuracy, and it included early voting, then the confidence level in early voting is going to be increased, and you're going to see other states get on board. If it's massive problems, then I suspect you're going to wind up seeing calls to reform the idea that early voting is a thing. But for right now, 78 million are already in. Here's one of the first things that CNN says is a takeaway. Takeaway is that fewer voters have actually voted. I'm surprised by this compared to 2020. Okay, that's right. 2020, we were in the pandemic. More people did early voting to avoid being in crowds. So we had 110 million people that had voted early in 2020. We're at roughly 70% of that right now. Probably a little more than 70. It says, but pre-election voting is expected to make up closer to 50% of all ballots overall. And that's interesting. It said in some states, more voters chose to vote in person, though, than they did in 2020. There's a few states where they exceeded the point. Key states of North Carolina and Georgia both saw record numbers. I think North Carolina, in part because people were worried about the damage from the hurricane and they were trying to get their votes in to make sure they could. Georgia just got a good mad, and they weren't going to let what happened in 2020 be on their resume again one more time. And so they tightened up the procedures, and they just began to force the issue. So there's the first takeaway, is that early voting, 78 million, it's actually lower than 2020. But here's the big takeaway. Republicans have made up more of the pre-election vote than they did in 2020. That's huge. Trump campaign actually started urging people. You'd heard Trump at his rally saying, get out there and vote early, bank your vote. So 27 states Registered Democrats have cast 37% of the ballots. Registered Republicans have cast 35%. So that's a significant tightening of the numbers. But in four of the seven battleground states, this is interesting. In four of the seven battleground states, Republicans made up a larger share of the early vote than they did this same time 4 years ago. That's cool. Arizona is one of those. Arizona, 41% of all early votes have been Republican. That's a four-point increase from four years ago. Democrats make up 33%. That's 3% less than it was 4 years ago. So Democrats are voting less. Republicans are voting more in Arizona. Now that's, by the way, I got to take a quick aside on that. There's some races that are very key in Arizona, not just the presidential. Remember, Arizona was one of those we had to wait on last time. Arizona is one of the ones that we were mad about. Well, we got the Senate race out there with Carrie Lake, the Republican, who I think is a firebrand, and I think it'd be interesting to see her get to the Senate. I would love to see her in the Senate. Well, right now, she's polling dead even, you said, JP?
Yeah, so on Real Clear Politics, the Atlas Intel, which was the most latest poll of yesterday, it was a tie.
Atlas Intel is usually a pretty good poll.
Mm-hmm. So the Real Clear Politics average has Gallego up 2.6, which is still really, really close. Probably still within the margin of error. But yeah, the most recent one from Atlas is a dead tie.
Okay, so Carrie Lake, though, if we can see massive turnout for Republicans, we might only not only get their votes in Arizona for the Electoral College, but we might get a new Senate member. Because remember, that's a vacant seat. They're losing Kyrsten Sinema, who was a Democrat turned independent who chose not to run again. This would be a Republican gain if we could pick it up. All right, that's Arizona. How about Nevada? Nevada Republicans have increased their share by only 1 point. They're up to 37%. However, Democrats are down 4 points. That's a huge tick down. Nevada was also one of the states that we were most angry with a few years ago. North Carolina, I mentioned a minute ago, Republicans have accounted for 33%. Democrats have accounted for 32%. And in critical Pennsylvania, brace yourselves, wait for it, 19 electoral votes. Think about this. Republicans have made up 33% of the pre-election vote. That's a whole 10 points more than they had in 2020. While Democrats have made up 56%, which seems big, but that's 10 points less than what they had in 2020. The question is, how many of those are crossover votes? Are we cannibalizing our final vote day? By that, I mean, are people who would normally have voted on the vote day just voting early and so we don't know yet? Or are we getting a huge crossover? We'll open the ballots and see. But right now, Republicans are 10 points higher in Pennsylvania than they were this time 4 years ago. Democrats are 10 points lower. Okay, real quick before the break. I feel like I'm wearing y'all out with numbers, but I guess I'm geeking out on this stuff right now. But I'm watching all this, and I'm leaning in towards tonight when we're doing our live stream. So by the way, keep in mind, if you love Right Side and all the team members here, you got me, JP, Butters, and Birdman all doing a live stream from our new Right Side studio. We have a brand new studio. We'll get to unveil it tonight, but it'll be a live video stream, not audio, but video stream. Sitting at the table in the new studio, check it out at rightsidemedia.org, and we'll be on there from 7:30 to 9:30 tonight. Big doings. Got some great guests laid on. Great guests. I'm pretty stoked about this. So U.S. Senator Katie Britt's going to be calling in from D.C. A.G. Steve Marshall is going to be calling in from Montgomery, and Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall is going to be calling in from Mar-a-Lago. So you're going to want to watch some of our live stream tonight at rightsidemedia.org and all the other places you can find it. JP.
YouTube, Twitter, on Rumble, and Twitch as well. You can check us out. And Jeff Poor will also be joining us at 7:45. Dale Jackson big timed us for No Grand Council, but nevertheless, we'll be joined by Jeff Poor. So make sure you check us out.
And the lovely Charlene just walked in the studio.
I noticed that.
Hey, baby.
Hello.
All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. You guys stand by. We got plenty more where this came from. I'm telling you, the numbers are interesting. And if you're geeking on numbers like I am, we got plenty of them. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. I got a piece from thehill.com. Former Obama campaign manager, a guy named Jim Messina, He was one of the deputy campaign managers for Obama in 2012. He says the early voting numbers are a little bit scary for Harris. Okay, I hope that's true. Now, he didn't just give away the farm. He didn't just say, it's all in, weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's not saying that. He just says early voting numbers are a little scary. He says Republicans didn't do what they did last time. He said last time Trump said don't go early vote, so they didn't. Republicans do have an advantage in the early vote numbers. When the votes come in, it's going to look a little bit different than 2020, and that's scary. He said, but when you kind of dig into the numbers that I care about the most, there are two blocks, women voters and young voters, and those two voting blocks are coming in big, he says. Women voters make up 55% of early votes, and in the past 10 days, young voters, he said, are coming out strong. He thinks it's going to be historic numbers, and that makes the Harris campaign very happy. So what he's saying, and of course he's saying it from the liberal perspective, what he's saying is that the women vote and the younger votes, he thinks, are turning out strong for Harris. The male vote, though, is being seen as more dedicated to a Trump vote. Listen, it's all over the place, y'all. We could talk about this ad nauseum, and we'll talk about some more. But the truth be told, what we're looking at right now is that the vote is going to be different than 2020. It just is. Because Republicans got busy and got busy early. And Republicans got a good mad going on. And Republicans have held on to this good mad now for 4 years. And Republicans, by the way, have been beaten up for 4 years. If you're a conservative, you have watched for 4 years as the things that you know and love and believe in have been just trampled on. Today's the day of days. Today's the day when we set things right. And I'm hoping, if you have not voted yet, you have time. In Alabama, the polls don't close till 7 o'clock. You've got more time. No matter where you are in our listening area, you still have more time to go vote if you want to. And I encourage you to do so. I will say this. There's a neat story, and I love that. I was sharing this with JP earlier. There's a neat story out of New Hampshire. Y'all ever heard of the town of Dixville Notch? It's actually a little unincorporated community. Dixville Notch. Six people live there. Six voters, at least. Six voters. Six. Just six. They do this thing called midnight voting, and they have a little celebration. Dixville Notch. They gather up together at the community center. All six voters show up at a little before midnight. They had a three-time world champion accordion player performing an accordion rendition of the national anthem. And then they all held their hands over their hearts, stood there for the national anthem. And then at 12:01 p.m., they all six wrote their votes down. And this time they split 3-3. 3-3, Trump-Harris. They had the votes counted by 12:10. By 12:10, Dixville Notch was the first community in the United States to have their votes in. Pretty cool. They started doing this in 1960. They love being the first on record as a community. And the longtime town moderator, that's what they call him, the town moderator of the vote, he says that we get our 15 minutes of fame every 4 years. But Dixville Notch, by the way, went 5-1 for Biden in 2020. So it's a rather raucous, independent little bunch in Dixville Notch. I love the name, Dixville Notch. Where you live? I live down yonder in the Notch. You a Notch boy? Man, yeah, my family's Notch from way back. We Notch people. Notch people can vote. Yeah, we do. Midnight vote. Got the midnight vote going down yonder at the Notch Center. Come on, what'd you do at the Notch Center? We had an accordion play us a song at the Notch Center. We voted. 12-10. Had our votes in. 3-3. 3-3 is different. It was 5-1 to Biden last time. 3-3 split vote in Dixville Notch at midnight last night. Take me to a break there, JP. I'm going to go ahead on the warm, fuzzy feeling of Dixville Notch. You Notch people are awesome. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio, world needs some more Notch. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. Man, the text lines are going crazy. And some of y'all have some awesome texts, I got to tell you. Just got one a minute ago from one of the mics from Huntsville. He has a meme from the Lord of the Rings, Aragorn, saying, "It cannot be," followed by a picture of a white squirrel saying, "I am Peanut the White, and I come back to you now at the turn of the tide." So if you've ever seen the Lord of the Rings movie, you're laughing right now. If you're not, you don't know what I'm talking about. John from Minor Hill, Tennessee says, trying to say Right Side Ruffian shirts probably don't come in a size small enough to fit that guy. Nice. Okay. I hear it. Barry from Guntersville says, heading home now from work, picking up the wifey, going to vote. Let's go Trump. I'm getting it. I'm saying. So what's happening in Pennsylvania? I've already talked about several other states, but let me just do this real quick, and then I'll take a phone call here momentarily. Pennsylvania, 19 electoral votes. Yeah, I'm almost sick of hearing about Pennsylvania. And it's also a little bit galling to think that after what Pennsylvania hosed in the last election cycle, that we have to rely on them again. But I do think things have improved. I do think the Republicans have gotten their game face on. I do think that there's a really strong chance that we could see Pennsylvania go to the Republicans, and that would be amazing. And by the way, there are experts who say that in terms of the Electoral College vote trying to reach the magic number of 270, that if Trump can carry Pennsylvania, he's 96% going to win the overall election. The problem is we don't know when the votes are going to come in. Pennsylvania has had a massive number of early voters. Early voting throughout the state, according to WokeSpy, has given the Democrats a sizable advantage. That's interesting. With Vice President Harris leading her Republican opponent by around 410,000 votes. So Harris has got 997,000. Trump has 587,000. That seems big. There's also 205,000 independent votes that you don't know what they are until you open the envelope. But 4 years ago, here's the thing. 4 years ago, early voting for Democrats had 1,700,000 ballots, suggesting that right now Harris is 700,000 votes worse off than she was, than Joe Biden was at this stage 4 years ago. That's epic. That's a lot of votes. If you think about it, Trump didn't lose by a wide margin in Pennsylvania last time. I want to say let's see if you can look up JP and figure out what was the margin, what was the spread in the voting in Pennsylvania 2020. I seem to remember it not being huge. I know it was only 12,000 in Arizona. But right now you're looking at, she has definitely got a lead, but she is way behind where Biden was 4 years ago. Way, 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 way behind. So 4 years ago, the GOP has now amassed 623,000 more votes. Hang on, that can't be right. GOP amassed 623,000 total votes last time. Trump has 587,000 this time, but 700,000 fewer votes for the Democrats. You got a vote spread? What do you see?
This title said he won it by more than 80,000 votes.
So 80,000 votes out of millions.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's actually a small percentage. That's probably like a 1-2% spread.
Yeah.
It could be interesting. It could be very, 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 very interesting. Let me grab a phone call before I run out of time real quick. I got about a minute left. Jeff from Holly Pond. Jeff, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Yeah. Man, they wouldn't let me vote, Bill.
I'm sorry?
I was purged off the list.
What, did they give you a provisional ballot?
Nope.
Did you ask for a provisional ballot?
They called the man in Coleman County at the courthouse, and he said I would have to come see him. I'm like, doggone time, I drive 40 minutes up there, you know. We'll be going home.
Jeff, here's what's supposed to happen. I would suggest you're in Holly Pond, right? I'd suggest you go back down to your voting station at Holly Pond and tell them you want to vote provisionally, all right? A provisional ballot is when someone has been accidentally taken off the roll. It happened to me one time. I was running for office, and somehow I wasn't on the roll, so I had to vote provisional. Provisional just means they're going to fix it. If they have to find out later on that you should have been counted, then they'll count it. But right now, they have to give you a provisional ballot. So go back and ask one of the poll workers to give you a provisional ballot and a chance to vote. And they'll put it in an envelope, seal it, and then they'll open it the day after the election and check your registration, okay?
All right.
All right. Provisional ballot. That's your game. Take it on and let us know.
Still, is that not a violation of my civil rights?
Well, I mean, it depends on if they've
been voting there for like over 30 years.
Yes, sir, and I totally understand. That's why I'm saying you need to go back and show them your ID, show them where you live, and tell them you want a provisional ballot. Things happen sometimes. It's fallible people that work in those offices, and if they come out later on and realize they took you off for the wrong reasons, then, you know, obviously you're still alive, upright, and kicking. So I'd say go back and vote provisional. Yeah, Jeff, I got to run, man, but let us know what happens, all right?
All right.
All right. All right, listen, we're taking a break. Coming right back, I got a friend, Donna Barnes, going to call in. Talk to us about knocking doors for Republicans in Georgia. The purple state, Georgia, to our east. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about this one. Don't argue with me. It's this one. It's Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Well, listen, speaking of covering a lot of ground, so this morning the lovely Charlene and I were talking, and I was just talking about the show and what I'm putting together for the show and talking about early voting and, you know, efforts made to bring in the votes. And she said, you remember Donna's been over there knocking doors in Georgia? Well, our good friend Donna Barnes is one of those people who does not sit still very often. And she gets busy. And so Donna Barnes, who we've had the pleasure of knowing for over a decade, decided she was going to go from Alabama to Georgia and knock on doors and encourage the vote. And sure enough, she's on the phone with us right now. My friend Donna Barnes, how are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you doing, Phil?
I'm good. I am good. Well, are you back in the great heart of Dixie here in Alabama? Are you back home?
I am. I got home yesterday evening and went over there Wednesday. You know, spent Thursday through Monday morning knocking on doors and then got back Monday evening.
Were you part of the State Republican Party's task force?
Oh, yeah, it's called the Mighty Alabama Strike Force.
That's
is what
right.
It's called. And Joan, I cannot believe I can't remember her last name. But, yes. She's over it, and she's done it for a number of elections, and I went in 2016 and 2020, and then those were both in Florida, and then this time around, we were sent to Georgia.
Well, so you were there for how many days, you said?
Well, I was there Wednesday, and then we knocked on doors Thursday through Monday.
Wow.
And
wow.
Yep, so we covered, so my group, you know, they had groups going in the beginning of October, and they were there like a week or more. And then we were sent to several different counties that would be most effective throughout Georgia. And then my group, I went with the later group, and there were 12 in our group, but some of them had 15, 20, 25. But my particular one had there was 12 in ours.
Well, so what counties did you wind up door knocking in?
We were in Kennesaw, so we were in Cherokee, and I believe it was like around Ackworth and places like that.
Yeah.
So Kennesaw, and we went up kind of north, and the point was we downloaded an app that showed registered Republican houses.
Yeah.
And the point was to get out the vote, not to try to knock on just anybody's house.
Right.
And convince them to vote Republican or vote for Trump.
So what was the response? Were you seeing, generally speaking, a positive response? Were people already planning on voting or had already voted? Or were there people like oh, yeah, thank you for reminding me. What did you see?
Well, we had, as they said, they were right. They said only about 10%, you know, come to the door. They're either not home or they don't, you know, they don't want to answer. But of that 10%, probably two-thirds were Trump fans and had already voted. Or on Thursday and Friday, we helped them to know where to go for early voting if they hadn't already. And then Saturday and Sunday and Monday morning, we were just talking to them about coming out Tuesday. But the ones probably a third to half, well, no, I want to say a half at least, that had voted for Trump or going to vote for Trump, they were super enthusiastic. I mean, they were just, and they thanked us for what we were doing. They were happy we were going around doing it. They had, you know, they were, that's what we really liked was how enthusiastic, because so we knew that flowed over to their friends and, you know, other people as far as, you know, wanting people to get out there and vote for Trump. So that's, and even when we would, like, run to the gas station, you know, for a break or something, or even around the hotel, there were several people that asked us what our shirts meant, the Alabama Strike Force, and we would tell them, and they, too, were enthusiastic for Trump.
Wow.
So the vast majority of people that we came in contact, now, we had some that weren't happy and didn't want to talk to us and all that. There, you know, some of the doors, so I don't know if a registered Republican didn't live there anymore, or they didn't like Trump, or they were just tired of people knocking on their doors.
Well,
could have been any of those.
Either way, I think it's awesome y'all did that. And let me ask you, I mean, so in 2020's election, Georgia got a little bit of a, you know, a bad reputation. So the nation, Republican nation, sort of had a bad taste in their mouth about some of the states. Georgia was on that list. Was there a sense that Georgians were like more game on and ready to make sure their reputation was brought forward?
Oh, absolutely. I really do have that impression. And then they mentioned a couple of things going on, like our head person, Kimberly. She was our captain, but that it sounded like they were working on getting it. But the people that were Trump fans, several of them mentioned they felt like it was going to be a landslide and that Trump wouldn't have any problem, you know, because of their enthusiasm and other people that they knew. We'll see. But that was their impression.
Well, so let me ask you this part, too. Did you see, like when you're out there driving neighborhoods, and I realize you were doing selected doors, which we did in my campaign. I remember that. We call them the walk books, where you'd have a walk book and it would tell you these are known Republican voters, knock on theirs to get out the vote. But you're still walking through neighborhoods and there's campaign signs. Did you see a lot of Harris-Waltz campaign signs when you were out and about?
Very few.
Wow.
Very few. We saw a lot of Trump ones and plus the app that we had, not only did it show registered Republicans, it was supposed to let us know which ones hadn't voted yet. Now, they were behind a day or two, so hence, yes, we did see a fair amount that had already voted. But there were a lot of Trump signs out in the neighborhoods and along the street. And we saw very few Harris signs, very few.
Well, that's a good idea. A good thing. It's a good notion to think that there's maybe not as much enthusiasm for the Harris-Waltz campaign in Georgia. I'd love to see Georgia come back to the red. It's been purple for a few years.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't feel right sitting here in Alabama with the idea that there's two Democrat senators next door to us in Georgia of all places. It just doesn't feel like there's some kind of, you know, imbalance in the space-time continuum. I don't know how to explain it, but it just doesn't seem right. Yeah. Well, so, all right, you're back home. Well, did you vote yet?
Oh, yes. I went first thing this morning. I sure did.
Where do you vote?
I wore my Trump shirt. I vote on the Riddles Bend Fire Department.
Oh, yeah. Well, how was the line out there?
It was fun. It was one of the few times I couldn't park next to the fire department. I had to park across the street at the church, but then when I went in, I was able to get it pretty quick. But that's just, we don't have a lot of people down this way.
Well,
so it wasn't very, very hard at all. But I did want to give you a number.
Yeah.
Back to Georgia.
Yeah.
We had there was 12 of us, but at times there were only 10, you know, for various reasons. But as a total, we've knocked on over 5,700 doors.
Wow.
During the days that we were there.
Wow.
I just wanted to throw that out there because that's pretty impressive of what we did. And we were pretty much, we went from like 9 to 4 walking, hilly streets, you know, tall driveways, lots of steps, and, you know, with a break for lunch. So, you know, we went at it hard, but it was very, you know, rewarding and we enjoyed it.
Well, if you've got a picture of the mighty Alabama Strike Force, you know, wearing your shirt somewhere, just text it over to me. I'd love to see it and put it out on social media. But
okay.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate you. And this is what I know you to be. You're a doer, and you always have been. So thank you for continuing to be a doer for the cause. And I look forward to seeing Georgia tonight, and I'll know that you had your handprints on it.
Okay. Okay, that sounds great.
All right. Thanks, Donna Barnes. Appreciate you.
All right. Thank you, Phil.
All right. See you. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. That's just cool. Listen, there's people like that that are doing things nationwide. When I used to work for Young Life Ministries, I had a sign on my wall above my desk. It said that volunteers are a gift from God, and they are. And I hope you, I mean, listen, Donna, who just called in, she's a nurse. She's a highly skilled nurse, too. And if I recollect right, she was a travel nurse for quite a while. She's highly educated. She's got a job. She works hard, and she took time off from all of that to be unpaid and go knock on doors in another state because she believes in what we're doing. And that's just cool, man. You can't do without people like that. Can't do without people like that at all. Georgia from Summerton, Alabama, texted in, says, second time my son has ever voted, and they were both for Trump. Says, please keep my husband in your prayers, by the way. He's still at UAB. I'm headed back that way right now. I love you guys. Thank you for keeping it. And don't know how much it means to be able to turn on the radio and hear something that's actually truthful. Georgia, blessings on you and your husband. And I pray that the Lord God would keep you and heal him and bless your family in the midst of it. Thank you for raising your son to be a voter. Trey from Madison says, shenanigans have already started in Pennsylvania. Voting machines are jamming up due to a software error. Yeah, it's not widespread. I have seen that. Says MSM News reports that it's a lot of voting machines, that Republican voters are almost getting violent. A little bit overblown on that. Not you, Trey, but the report you may be reading. But I am seeing that there are precincts that are having trouble. And they actually had two bomb threats in Georgia. They had a bomb threat, I believe it was at Wisconsin. Had some bomb threats.
We also had one station in Michigan had to be evacuated from a gas leak.
Well, it's better than having the building blow up while you're in there voting.
Yeah.
But, wow. I'll tell you what, JP, why don't you check out the Pennsylvania voting software error story and see what you can find on that. Mike from Coxey, Alabama, said, I just voted in Limestone County. There were 17 elections on the ballot to be voted on. 15 has no Democrat running in opposition. Just as well to vote straight ticket Republican. Not many other options, but I'm good with that. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you voting. Mike from Harvest says, voted in and out in 15 minutes. Stephen from Madison says, doesn't matter that the guy voted for Harris so his daughters can get an abortion. If she gets elected, he won't be able to afford it. Wow. Wow. Laid it on thick. And then Mike from Florence says, I ain't scared, but I am worried. Found a credit card statement from September 2020 with a balance of $400. November 21st, I had to retire disabled with a small union pension and the amount of Social Security I was going to be getting. I thought I would be doing pretty good. And then inflation hit. Everything cost more. And now 4 years later, I'm struggling to keep my credit card balance below $15,000. Says Martina McBride saying something about more being less or vice versa. Now I know what it means. We have to win this. Mike, blessings on you, brother. Let's go win it. Let's go win it for people like you and get it done.
So I got something on the Pennsylvania software issue. So said that in Cambria County, they extended the voting hours until 10 p.m. Eastern time due to the malfunction, and said that this should not discourage any voters. Anybody who shows up and wants to vote can still write a handwritten vote that will be counted at some point, I guess. And so they've extended the voting times till 10 p.m. to try to account for it, and anybody who shows up can write a ballot, I guess a provisional ballot sort of thing to be counted later on. But
So it's one county, and the machines they're already working again.
Yeah, I've not seen there if they had it up and working yet, but nevertheless, they're still taking handwritten votes for people who showed up, and if they're not working then when they're there, to be counted at later.
All right, good enough. All right, listen, we got more on this. We're monitoring it, and don't forget, tonight we have a live stream, the Right Side crew. That's me, JP, Butters, Birdman. We're all in the new Right Side studio doing a live stream video, 7:30 to 9:30, with great callers like Katie Britt, AG Steve Marshall, and John Wall from the State Republican Party calling in from Mar-a-Lago. You guys stay tuned. More of this. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. We're going to do an audio clip here. I've had this audio clip. It relates to our topic right now about early voting. It's a national pollster, a guy named Justin Wallen, during a interview he did on Fox News. I believe he had, was it Shannon Bream? Anyway, the bottom line is he was interviewed on Fox, and it's a pretty solid piece related to his thoughts on the impact of the early voting. JP, let me know thumbs up when you're good on audio clip number one, and we'll take that. You good with it? All right, let's go ahead and play it. Audio clip number one, Justin Wallen, Fox News, early voting. Take it.
And Justin, good morning to you. So we had a change of candidate on one side, two assassination attempts on the other, and it all comes down to today. The polls show that this is just too close to call. But you say that there are some indicators that you're looking out for that could be a sign of things to come. So what are those?
Yeah, so when the polls, of course, which, you know, are the closest thing we have to a good indicator of what's going to happen, when they're this close, we have to look elsewhere. So there's a degree of accuracy with these items, but they are telling. A couple of them are, first and foremost, there has been a wave in early voting from Republicans. This is unprecedented. It really has never happened before. I'm a California guy. We have early voting for a long, long time. The reality is Republicans just don't vote early, and they have. And in certain states, they've actually eclipsed Democratic voters. What's interesting to see here is that just going to be a full cannibalization of later voting trends, in which case it all nets out, you know, basically zero. Or does this mean Republicans are actually more amped up, more energized? We're going to have to see how that plans out because we've never seen it before. The other two components, which I think are really, really telling, is we're starting to see, and we have seen,
all right, pause it right there a second. Pause it right there a second. He mentioned something about cannibalizing the vote. What we see is a positive trend, right? What we see is a very positive trend in more Republicans turning out than ever before for the early vote. And when you look at it, in every single one of the battleground states, like I said earlier, Democrats have lost a healthy percentage of their early voting from 2020, while Republicans have increased greatly. So we're seeing more of what we would call the enthusiasm gap being in favor of the Republican vote. So keep that in mind. The enthusiasm gap is leaning towards the Republicans. But then he mentioned something, too. The thing that we can't see yet is what does this mean in terms of what he called the cannibalization of the later vote? What does that mean? What it means is we have to watch and see, is it just the same voters turning out again, but some came early this time? Or does it mean we have more overall Republican voters in general? We don't know the answer to that yet. But that's why we have to take the early voting and compare it to the actual polls. And the actual polls show the race being close, but yet early voting is strongly in favor of Republicans, which is a good indication. Because we also believe, here's a third thing, all the pieces of the puzzle, y'all, all the prediction pieces, right? The prediction pieces are early voting, polling, and then you have what's known as the underpoll. The underpoll is the real sense, and I think it's legit. I mean, I think it's real legit, that Republicans, especially ardent Trump supporters, just don't like to answer polls. We don't trust them. We get tired of them. We feel like they lie to us a lot anyway. And so we're more inclined on the Republican side as a whole to say no thank you when the poll comes in. If that's the case, and it has been the case in the last two election cycles, if that's the case, then all the polls that say we're tied right now are actually underpolling Trump, and we should see a massive bump by a couple of points even coming into the final. Listen, it's going to be interesting. I had a little bit more on that one, but I think we'll just call it right there on that one because I'm going to switch dippers as soon as we get back. But, Lord, I mean, we can predict all this all we want to, but the reality is they're going to count votes, and that's what matters. So keep your head in the game, my friends. Stay patient. We're going to get there. Listen, we're going to be just as anxious as you guys are to see a result. And it's possible that I may be on the air tomorrow talking about something that we still don't have all the results in yet. If we're waiting for days, you still got to stay patient. We're going to get there. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. More to come. Hour number three. We'll be right back.